Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Today could be one of the hottest days we've seen all year, with temperatures in the upper 90s to around 100. I'll show you what it will feel like with the heat index and when a front finally comes in to cool us off.
And a man has serious injuries after a stabbing overnight in downtown Raleigh. Straight ahead, what we've learned about another assault that happened in the same place just an hour before.
Are North Carolina students still struggling with pandemic learning loss? That is a question we will get answered today, just ahead when those new numbers are released in a few hours.
And breaking news on the Beltline, we're tracking some huge backups this morning. I'll tell you which exits to avoid.
It's 8 o'clock straight up right now. I want to welcome you in on your Wednesday morning. Great to have you with us and sharing part of your day. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey, in for another hot day today. We saw temperatures nearing the triple digits yesterday. I know I waited to do my lawn care later in the day. I tried to go out there at 2 o'clock and I was like, no way.
You wait too long, it's going to be all burned up.
Yeah, I know. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is standing by. People are going to get their golf game in. Better do it now.
Ooh, absolutely. It's pretty quiet out here at Longleaf Golf and Family Club right now. They've been working on the golf course a little bit this morning, but you don't want to wait too late. Right now it's already 76 and our dew point just jumped to 72. That is a pretty high dew point, so it feels extra sticky out there this morning. It is 74 in Clinton, it's 75 in Southern Pines, 73 in Goldsboro, 72 up in South Hill. Hour by hour, we'll hit 92 by lunchtime and 100 potentially this afternoon. We were at 98 yesterday, so it could be a couple of degrees warmer later on today. We stay dry today, but starting tomorrow, we get back into a chance of a few isolated storms, and that should help our temperatures to fall a little bit. Tropical Storm Lee is moving to the northwest at 14 miles per hour with 65 mile per hour winds. So in the next 24 hours, it will become a hurricane, and then it stays a major hurricane for quite some time. That happens late Thursday night into early Friday. It moves north of some of the Caribbean islands and, of course, potentially gets close to the United States. Now, whether it's going to have a major effect on the United States besides erosion and rip current danger still remains to be seen. This is where the computer model plots put it next Wednesday. We have some steering currents that could steer it just off the coast of the United States, including a big trough or front that'll be moving off the East Coast. I'll explain what that means and what some of the scenarios will be coming up. Brian?
It is 8:02 right now, and we're following that breaking news on 440 westbound. This is just beyond the Lassiter Mill Road Bridge heading out toward Glenwood Avenue. Left lane block right now with what appears to be a crash there. Traffic is getting by in three lanes, but of course that is a very busy section of the Beltline at this point in our morning commute. A 24-minute delay showing up right now between 87 and Wade Avenue. I want to zoom into that area with our sensor map and show you how things are looking. Those delays begin right there between the Pool Road and 87 interchanges on the east side of Raleigh and extend out to just beyond the Six Forks Road interchange. If you can pick up 440 westbound from Glenwood Avenue, you're in good shape heading toward Lake Boone Trail, Wade Avenue, and beyond. Also note that because of those backups on 440 westbound, we're seeing some ramp delays right now on 87 southbound, beginning around the 540 interchange all the way out toward 440. Slow traffic also on the south side of Raleigh between the 440 split out toward South Saunders Street on 40 westbound. An earlier crash is getting cleared, but apparently we still have some activity on the right shoulder right there at the South Saunders Street interchange. About a 10-minute delay overall in South Raleigh. A lot of improvement in the Cleveland community there in western Johnston County on 40 westbound with an earlier crash around Highway 42. Just a little bit of a slowdown in that area right now, but we are still seeing some heavy residual delays on 42 approaching the I-40 interchange. Heading over to Durham with a report of a crash on 885 right around the 147 interchange. Heavy northbound delays this morning from I-40 through the TW Alexander Drive interchange. Looks like once you get up toward Ellis Road, traffic's flowing pretty well, but still, that's about a 7-minute delay overall. On the southbound side, about a 4-minute slowdown showing up on sensors.
I'm Brett Neeson, the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in downtown Raleigh, where police are looking for who stabbed a man near the Go Raleigh bus station on Blunt Street. It happened just before 11:30 last night. The man went to the hospital with serious injuries. Police shut down part of that station while they collected evidence and worked to figure out what led up to the stabbing. They say it's an isolated incident. I'm asking if they have identified a suspect. This investigation comes less than an hour after police looked into a separate incident at this same bus station where a man had a gash on his hand. I'm also working to find out if police know how that happened. I'll stay on top of both of these stories and keep you updated. Brett Neese, WRAL News, Raleigh.
In just a few hours, we'll get a better idea of how students are doing with their classes after the pandemic. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us now with what we can expect on the new spring test scores that are expected to be released later today. Laura.
The State Board of Education will meet here on North Wilmington Street very soon, and that's when we'll get a true idea of how North Carolina students are doing in the classroom. If you recall, last year, the data that was released was a true indicator of a slowed pace of student learning that still remains. Now, during last spring, more than half of students passed 11 of the state's 21 end of grade or end of course tests. That's down from 19 of 21 tests in pre-pandemic years. The spring test scores for North Carolina students released today will show if students are getting back on track academically. We'll be talking with experts about what to make of the test scores and about learning recovery efforts throughout the state. What we do know is state leaders have been optimistic that test scores will be better this year. Reading scores for early grades have gone up, and most of the scores released today will be for higher grade levels from third grade all the way through high school. Again, the numbers released today will happen around 10 o'clock this morning. We're also going to hear from Wake County Public School leaders this afternoon about some of their efforts here more locally to help students and their needs. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Bus drivers for Wake County schools can expect some extra cash in their paycheck. Wake County Board of Education approved offering annual bonuses of $1,000. The incentive comes as statewide and national driver shortages are impacting students with late arrivals to school or home. The district's chief of facilities and operations says it's all part of an effort, the extra money, to keep drivers from quitting their jobs.
We lose a lot of drivers throughout the years. You all may have heard earlier today in the work session, maybe around 5 a month. We're hoping this retention bonus will allow us the opportunity to not only get them in the door, but to keep them as well.
He said the district's goal is to hire 4 or 5 new drivers per week through September and October. The new annual bonuses are expected to be paid out later this month.
The Triangle's Asian American community is remembering UNC professor Zijie Yan. Hundreds gathered for a vigil in Cary last night to honor his legacy and support one another. The Chinese American Friendship Association of North Carolina and North Carolina Asian Americans Together hosted the vigil at the Cary Arts Center. Yan was shot and killed on UNC's campus last week. Many who spoke with the vigil described him as a scholar, a friend, and a colleague.
He was a major contributor to his academic field and a caring mentor to his students. He was a cherished community member. He was a loving son.
A private funeral for Yan happened earlier on Tuesday. His family attended the vigil but were not ready to talk. A GoFundMe has been set up to support Yan's 2 young daughters. And the doctoral student accused of shooting and killing Yan has been formally indicted. A grand jury handed up the indictment yesterday, charging the 34-year-old Tylay Kui Chi with murder and firing a gun on educational property. He is being held without bond.
Happening today, a new major crackdown on illegal dirt bike and ATV riding that is putting drivers at risk across the triangle. It's an ongoing issue WRAL has been following for a while now. The Durham Police Department will join other agencies, including Raleigh Police, to announce Operation Dismount, a collaborative effort to address illegal ATV and dirt bike activity. The announcement is at 1:30 today at Durham Police Headquarters.
The search for a convicted murderer who escaped from a Pennsylvania prison is growing this morning. The FBI and Border Patrol are now helping Pennsylvania State Police look for Danilo Cavalente. The convicted murderer has been spotted in new images from a trail cam on the property of a botanical garden about 5 miles from the prison. That means he is outside the 2-mile perimeter where authorities had been searching for days.
That is a really scary thing. I mean, it just seems kind of hard to believe that he can just disappear, especially with all the cops around.
And police say he's been able to avoid them in part because he's within a heavily wooded area. Some schools in the area were closed yesterday as the search area widened.
Coming up on 10 minutes after 8, lawyers for convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh are requesting a retrial. Up next, what they're accusing the clerk of courts of doing that they say swayed the jury.
And this is something you don't see every day on the North Carolina coast. Flamingos will tell you all the unusual places they've been spotted since Hurricane Idalia hit the U.S.
looking at 100 for a high temperature potentially this afternoon, but a cold front comes in and drops our temperatures dramatically as we get into the weekend. We'll also have some rain to go along with that. I'll show you how to plan around it for your weekend coming up.
Just coming up on 8:13 on your Wednesday morning. This is a live look over North Hills. Nice and sunny this morning. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Sunny and warm, and we're only going to get warmer. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look around town and the temperatures that we're seeing right now, Elizabeth.
Yeah, that sunshine is going to be relentless again today, very much like yesterday. Here's a live look at Goldsboro. It already looks hazy there with that sunshine. Check out Apex at Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course our newsroom there in Fayetteville. What's ahead? Near record heat today. Highs up around 100. And the reason it's near record heat is because the record officially at RDU today is 104. Yesterday the record was 97, and we broke that one, hit 98. Weekend storms will help to bring our temperatures back down closer to normal. And of course we're tracking the tropics. We just took a look at Tropical Storm Lee a minute ago. We'll check it out again. Here's that storm right now. It is moving northwest at 14 miles per hour with winds at 65 miles per hour. It's likely to become a hurricane in the next 24 hours and then quickly a major hurricane. It will rapidly intensify as it's moving across some very warm ocean temperatures here. Those temperatures are in the upper 80s. That's the temperature of the water. That creates a lot of energy and fuel for these storms. So it is likely to remain a very powerful storm as it continues to make a turn to the north. And you can see the computer model plots fairly close together there. So some good agreement there. This is going to be next Wednesday at 2:15. So again, we have a long time to watch this storm. Potentially, it will move in between North Carolina and Bermuda. But of course, a lot of things have to come together. This is a look at one of the potential scenarios. We'll have a deep trough in the jet stream or in the upper levels sitting across the East Coast. That would help to feed that storm away from the United States. At the same time, the Bermuda high will also help to feed it north. And of course, this would be a best case scenario, especially for us. If, of course, some other possibilities, the trough could be farther east and it would push the storm closer to Bermuda, or the Bermuda high would be farther west and we would have the potential of seeing that storm affecting the East Coast. So a lot of scenarios right now. This looks like where the computer models want to take it. We'll continue to watch how everything develops. Again, that's a whole week out. A lot can change between now. Then this is a look at one of the computer models, and you can see it off the coast of the United States, but a little bit closer to Bermuda. So we'll watch closely. The next system coming off the coast of Africa has a 60% chance of developing. And of course, we're watching our cold front moving into the Mississippi Valley. It's produced some strong thunderstorms. We're looking at a few isolated storms starting tomorrow across our area, especially the northern half of the viewing area. Up into Virginia, there's going to be a better chance of some severe storms. And that's where some of the stronger storms would be for us as well. So you can see again, a lot of that storm activity Friday is up closer to the Virginia line. It's 40% chance, not going to be a washout over the weekend, but a chance of some scattered storms Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday too. Football Friday, again, a small chance of thunderstorms, but we'll cool down quickly at 8 o'clock in the 80s and then in the 70s as the game wraps up. Notre Dame plays NC State at noon, 83 degrees on Saturday, and then an increasing chance of some thunderstorms later in the afternoon. The highs over the weekend will be in the 80s, so that will feel a little nicer, but we are back to 91 on Tuesday.
8:16, Elizabeth, good news out on 440 westbound. Taking a look at that live camera at Lassiter Mill Road just in the past few minutes. They have cleared that crash from that left lane there. Traffic now flowing freely through that section of 440 westbound. But, of course, we have some lingering delays that we got to work through. They begin back around Poole Road and 87 and extend all the way out to the Six Forks Road interchange this morning. So give it another 20 minutes or so probably before things get a little closer to normal there on 440 westbound. Also, it's going to be a while before we get those ramp delays on 87 southbound to clear from 540 out toward the 440 interchange. They still have that crash getting cleared from 40 westbound right around South Saunders Street. Still seeing a little bit of a lingering delay in that area. Looking a lot better in western Johnston County around the Cleveland community. 40 all clear in both directions after that earlier crash right around 42. And 42 itself also has cleared up pretty nicely. Still watching some heavy delays, though, in both directions of 885 in Durham. There's a report of a crash between the 145 47 interchange and Ellis Road there on that southbound side. An 8-minute delay on the northbound side of 885 between I-40 to right around Ellis Road. And on the southbound side, about a 6-minute delay beginning right around the 147 merge down toward TW Alexander.
And happening now in the WRE Live Center, Vice President Kamala Harris is in Indonesia today. This is new video into a newsroom of the Vice President attending a meeting in Jakarta. Vice President Harris is there attending the ASEAN summit. She told Southeast Asian leaders the United States will continue to press strife-torn Myanmar to foster a path to democracy. She also announced the establishment of a new U.S. ASEAN center in Washington, D.C. Of course, this meeting coming ahead of the G20 summit scheduled for India this weekend.
Thanks, Ken. A youth curfew is in the works in Fayetteville. The plan is now headed to a city council meeting for further debate and discussion. It comes after last night's work session where city councilors voted 7-2 in favor of advancing the curfew. At the heart of the debate was whether this curfew would help bring down youth crime or whether it would provoke unwarranted stops, especially to black and brown teenagers. Some council members said this was a good step towards reducing gun violence in Fayetteville. A few of them even shared stories, very personal stories, about the impact of gun violence on their families. Others, though, wanted data, hard facts, to prove this curfew would work.
A Durham man is facing several charges this morning after leading a deputy on a chase through two counties. 19-year-old Eric Reed is facing charges with felony flee to elude, speeding, and reckless driving to endanger. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says the deputy tried to pull him over on I-440 at about 11 o'clock yesterday morning, but he did not stop. The deputy followed the car into Durham County, where the driver stopped in a neighborhood. Three people then ran from the car. They were found a short time later on Witzel Way off Hobson Road.
Attorneys representing ex-South Carolina lawyer and convicted killer Alec Murdaugh say the clerk of courts in the case tampered with the jury that eventually found him guilty, and now they are asking for a retrial. Murdaugh's legal team filed a motion in South Carolina yesterday hoping to get their client out of prison. They're asking for a new murder trial. The filing states Rebecca Hill advised the jury not to believe Murdaugh's testimony and other evidence presented in the case, which they say pressured them to reach a quick verdict.
It supported by sworn testimony of jurors, is that the clerk of court had improper private communications with the jurors, and the subject matter of those communications was the credibility of the defense that the Murdaugh legal defense team put up, and it was the believability of the defendant's own testimony.
Murdaugh's attorneys say Hill's motive may have been a book deal for herself. That would not have happened if the case ended in a mistrial. Murdaugh was found guilty of killing his wife and their younger son. South Carolina's attorney general says the office is reviewing the defense's latest motion and will respond at the appropriate time.
Nearly a month later, and the Lahaina fire on Maui is now 100% contained. It started on August 8th and burned 2,200 acres. Meanwhile, the Olinda fire is 90% contained at just over 1,000 acres, and the Kula fire is 95% contained at 200 acres. The governor says there are 41 people still reported missing, but a list compiled by the FBI and the Red Cross has the names of 385 people who are still unaccounted for.
New this morning, doctors may soon have new technology to diagnose autism quicker and more accurately in children. Two studies released Tuesday suggest an eye-tracking tool could diagnose autism in children as young as 16 months old. It's called Early Point Evaluation. The FDA cleared the tool to help clinicians intervene earlier than ever before. Early detection can lead to treatment approaches which help improve outcomes for children with a developmental disability.
A day in Venice could soon cost you extra. The Italian city approved a new daily entrance fee of $5.50 per person starting next year. The fee will be tested for 30 days next spring. Any tourist over the age of 14 will have to pay up. And you can roll up your sleeves and help during blood drives at NC State today. The university staff is partnering with the Blood Connection for the drives. They're happening from 10 to 3. One is on Main Campus Drive on the Centennial Campus. The other is in the McKimmon parking lot on Gorman Street. Donors will get a $60 e-gift card as a thank you.
Florida's flamingos are landing in new places this week after Hurricane Idalia. Check out the pictures that were taken in Rodanthe, North Carolina. Idalia's winds helped bring them much farther north than their usual South Florida and Caribbean homes. That gives birders in different states the chance to get some amazing photos they have never gotten before.
It was very exciting because I've never seen one here before. So, it was, I mean, I don't have a huge lens like some of the other photographers, but I still think I was able to get pretty decent shots.
Yeah, and some of our viewers sent them to us. People as far north as Kentucky and Ohio have also seen flamingos show up in recent days. How odd.
It's very odd, but the birds probably feel like, well, this feels like Florida, right?
The water's not
as blue, but it feels like Florida, so maybe we're in Florida.
Definitely hot enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodness. All right, coming up, a boat trip to Australia turns scary for three men. See the moments they were rescued after their inflatable catamaran boat was attacked by a shark and began to sink.
And today we'll learn about how students in our area are doing in school. We'll have that update for you next.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are in for another hot day. Temperatures could reach 100 degrees. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is with a look over Apex. I see a couple people walking behind you, Elizabeth. It's the right time right now to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Strolling around out there. A bunch of people, actually. My goodness. Five or six people out there on Salem Street. It's a good time to be out. By lunchtime, we'll hit 92 degrees. And right now, we're still in the 70s. 78 Fayetteville, 73 Tarboro, 74 in Irwin, Rocky Mount and Wilson, Goldsboro's at 75. So once we hit lunchtime, it'll be 92 and we'll be at around 100 for the high this afternoon, but feeling more like 104. We're not likely to see temperatures dropping into the 80s until closer to sunset. So it's a good day just to lay low. Temperatures start to turn cooler tomorrow, Brian.
Here at 827, we have a crash on 40 eastbound right around Wade Avenue. I think it's behind this big sign right here. You can see those heavy delays coming in from the airport. Right now we're measuring an almost 20-minute delay on 40 eastbound beginning right around the 540 interchange all the way down toward Wade Avenue. It's a good morning to consider using 54 as a good alternate route coming in from the western side of Wake County and Cary back toward Raleigh. A few other crashes that we are watching, one on the southbound Durham Freeway or 885 right around Ellis Road. Pretty heavy delays in both directions of 885. And on 40 eastbound, a crash right there at the 85 split in Hillsboro with some heavy backups beginning all the way back in the Eflin area.
All right, thanks, Brian. Raleigh police are looking for the person who stabbed a man near the Go Raleigh bus station on Blunt Street. It happened just before 11:30 last night. The man went to the hospital with serious injuries. Police say this is an isolated incident. Next on Fox 50, the crackdown against illegal ATV and dirt bike riding in the Triangle. And next on Today, a closer look at the growing diversity in dolls.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Another day, the temperature is about 15 degrees above normal. It'll feel more like 103 to 104, but I'll show you when a cold front comes through to drop our temperatures back down. Coming up.
A man has serious injuries after a stabbing overnight in downtown Raleigh. Straight ahead, what we've learned about another assault that happened in the same place just an hour before that.
A crackdown on illegal dirt bike and ATV activity across the Triangle will be announced today. Just ahead, which law enforcement agencies are joining forces to help keep you and other drivers safe. Still a lot to talk about on your Wednesday morning. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It is great to have you along here as we share our 8:30 time frame together on our Wednesday. It's going to be hot. No two ways about it when you step outside. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now. You need those golf carts with the air conditioning built right into them.
That's right. And with, you know, some plexiglass shields around them. It's going to be a toasty one today. Still feels pretty good out there right now. This is a look at Longleaf Golf and Family Club in Southern Pines. Temperatures are in the mid-70s, but the dew point's at 72, and that's going to be our real issue today. It's going to feel like 104 to 105 this afternoon. It's still 68 in Roxborough, but 75. 65 now in Southern Pines, 78 Fayetteville, 74 in Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, and Wilson. Hour by hour, temperatures will climb into the upper 90s to around 100. And of course, it stays in the 90s all the way until around 7 or 8 o'clock this evening. Today stays dry, but we do have the chance of some thunderstorms later in the weekend, and that will help to cool our temperatures up. Tropical Storm Lee, moving northwest at 14 miles per hour, 65 mile per hour winds, likely to become a hurricane in the next 24 hours, and then a major hurricane as it moves north of some of those larger islands in the Caribbean. This is a look at the model plots, fairly close together all the way through next Wednesday, so a week from now. And then the steering currents could take it just off the coast of the United States. We'll talk about what some of the scenarios will be coming up in just a bit. Brian?
It is 8:32, and we're watching a crash on 40 eastbound between Harrison Avenue and Wade Avenue, blocking, it appears to be, these two right lanes. The sign here is blocking the crash itself. You can see the big backups, though, on those two right lanes of 40 eastbound, and we're measuring a delay now of between 15 and 20 minutes coming in from 885. As we take a look at that map, those delays begin right around the 540 interchange and extend all the way back down toward Cary. Consider using 54 as a good alternate route. On the south side of Raleigh, this is 40 westbound at Lake Wheeler Road with a crash over here on the right shoulder. A reminder, with North Carolina's move over law, when you see those flashing lights on the side of the road, move over at least one lane to give them some room to work safely. A 14-minute delay showing up right now between 440 and US 1, and that heavy traffic extends all the way out to the Gorman Street area. Taking a look at some other big delays that I'm watching right now, both directions of the Durham Freeway backed up because of a crash right around Ellis Road. On that northbound and southbound side, you can see those heavy delays as we take a look at the latest updates. The worst delays are on the southbound side right now, a 14-minute backup overall, beginning right around the 147 interchange, extending down to right around Ellis Road. If you can pick it up from Ellis Road, you should be in good shape heading into the south part of Durham. And we have a crash blocking two lanes on 40 eastbound, right around the I-85 split in Hillsboro, with some heavy delays coming in from the Mebane and Eflin areas. Consider using Highway 70 as a good alternate route. Otherwise, on 40 eastbound, you're looking at about a 13-minute delay.
I'm Brett Neeson, the WRL Breaking News Tracker in downtown Raleigh, where police are looking for who stabbed a man near the Go Raleigh bus station on Blunt Street. It happened just before 11:30 last night. The man went to the hospital with serious injuries. Police shut down part of that station while they collected evidence and worked to figure out what led up to the stabbing. They say it's an isolated incident. I'm asking if they have identified a suspect. This investigation comes less than an hour after police looked into a separate incident at this same bus station where a man had a gash on his hand. I'm also working to find out if police know how that happened. I'll stay on top of both of these stories and keep you updated. Brett Neese, WRL News, Raleigh.
Illegal ATVs and dirt bikes have been an ongoing issue around the Triangle, and now multiple law enforcement agencies are working together to crack down on the issue and keep drivers safe. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live to explain why this new effort is so important, Kelsey.
Michelle, good morning. Law enforcement leaders from across the Triangle will be meeting here at the Durham Police Department to announce Operation Dismount today. That's a crackdown on illegal dirt bike and ATV activity. Now, I want everyone to check out this video. People riding recklessly like this has been a problem for years. Riders have been seen weaving in and out of traffic, doing stunts. Back in June, video surfaced of dozens of riders performing dangerous stunts and running red lights on Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard as more than 200 riders swarmed an area. Durham Police Chief Patrice Andrews wrote in a statement that she has formed a multi-jurisdictional task force. And some of the other law enforcement agencies that will be represented here today include Raleigh Police, the Durham County Sheriff's Office, and North Carolina Central's Campus Police. A news conference will be held this afternoon at 1:30. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Durham.
Today we'll learn more about how much pandemic learning loss is still affecting North Carolina students. Spring test scores for the state's students will be released today. The state school board plans to break down those numbers at its meeting this morning. State leaders have been optimistic that test scores will be better this year. Most of the scores released today will be for higher grade levels from third grade all the way through high school.
Bus drivers for Wake County schools can expect some extra cash in their paycheck. The Wake County Board of Education approved offering annual bonuses of $1,000. The incentive comes as statewide and national driver shortages are impacting students with late arrivals to school or home. The district's goal is to hire 4 to 5 new drivers per week through September and October. The new annual bonuses are expected to be paid out later this month.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, Wall Street expected to open in the red this morning following a negative Tuesday session. Taking a look at the big board this morning, Dow futures and other major indices in the red this morning. Analysts say part of what's driving these negative numbers is the spike in oil prices. And traders point out higher oil prices lead to inflation, which could affect the Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates. The Fed meet again on September 19th. We'll, of course, have the opening numbers in our next hour of news here on Fox 50.
Thanks, Ken. Triangle's Asian American community is remembering UNC professor Zijie Yin. Hundreds gathered for a vigil in Cary last night to honor his legacy and support one another. The Chinese American Friendship Association of North Carolina and North Carolina Asian Americans Together hosted the vigil at the Cary Arts Center. Yin was shot and killed on UNC's campus last week. Many who spoke at the vigil described him as a scholar, a friend, and a colleague. A private funeral for Yin happened earlier on Tuesday. A GoFundMe has been started to help support Yin's two young daughters. The doctoral student accused of shooting and killing Yin has been formally indicted now. A grand jury handed up the indictment yesterday, charging 34-year-old Tai Lei Chi with murder and firing a gun on educational property. He's being held without bond. Today, we will get new numbers showing how much COVID-19 is spreading in our state. State Department of Health and Human Services will release new data about the virus at noon today. The number of people hospitalized with COVID has been steadily rising, increasing for the past several weeks. And the amount of COVID particles detected in wastewater has been going up since mid-June. Health experts have been warning about a spike in cases because of a new variant that is spreading. Dr. Anthony Fauci is echoing those concerns, saying we could see COVID spread more rapidly as we get into fall.
The elderly and those with underlying conditions may want to, as the cases increase, to wear a mask when they're in indoor settings, particularly when there are crowds. And I'm not talking about mandating anything.
Dr. Fauci says new recommendations will likely come from the CDC as we proceed into the colder months and as COVID cases rise.
Tonight, you can learn more about major redevelopment plans in the works for Cary's Waverly Place. The town will host a virtual meeting about the rezoning proposal tonight from 6 to 8. The developers from Fenton want to rezone Waverly Place to allow for buildings of 4 to 7 stories. That would include up to 750 residential units and 30,000 square feet of commercial space. You can find a link to tonight's meeting on the town's website.
Cooling stations will be open again today across Wake County to help folks beat the heat. Health and Human Services buildings, social services buildings, and county libraries will be available for people to get in there and use some of that AC. The stations will be open again tomorrow as this extreme temperatures and weather stick around. Adjusting when you travel to a new time zone can be difficult, but scientists say they have found a way to make jet lag more bearable. Up next, why they say changing what time you eat can help you acclimate.
And we'll take you live out to Pinehurst. A couple of golfers out there right now. It's going to be another hot day with temperatures nearing 100 degrees. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will tell us when we can see some relief from this heat.
Live look right now, 8:43. This is Clinton, and it's getting busy down there. Look at that. Folks on the move this morning, trying to get their errands done early because it's going to be sweltering, plain and simple, a little bit later today. It's already pretty muggy out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRM Severe Weather Center with what's ahead for the next few hours.
You can definitely see that summer haze in that camera down there in Clinton, and this one too here in Fayetteville. Our skies are clear, but you know how it gets in the summertime. We have that real hazy look to the atmosphere. That's where we are right now. Temperatures in the mid-70s, our dew point in the low 70s, and that's just a really sticky kind of feel for us. Temperatures will climb into the low 90s by lunchtime, so you don't have a ton of time to get out out and about and get your errands run, your exercise done before it gets too hot. 100 this afternoon in Raleigh, 99 in Durham, and 101 in Fayetteville. Interestingly enough, that's not going to be the record for today. We broke the record yesterday at 98 because the record was 97. But the record for RDU today is 104, and definitely hoping we're not going to hit that. As a matter of fact, the hottest temperature we've ever seen at RDU is 105. So we'll just hold it right there. In Fayetteville, though, the record is 98, and the forecast is at 100, so we could break that record. The hottest day we've seen so far this year is 100. We haven't seen anything above that. And we've only hit it one time, just August 15th. So this will be one of the hottest days of the year. We've seen 61 days at 90 degrees or hotter, and the average is 43. So we're well above that, but fortunately not that close to the record of 91. In September so far, we've seen 3 days in the 90s, and the average for the whole month is 4. And our normal last 90 degree day is September 12th, which is next Tuesday. I have a feeling we'll add a few more past that normal because it does look like it's going to be fairly hot again. We get into the low 90s again by next Monday. But 85 is our normal high. So these temperatures we're seeing now are well above normal. 96 tomorrow, 91 Friday. And then we're back into the 80s Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll end up with a better chance for some scattered storms. It looks like it's going to stay sticky through the weekend. We'll see temperatures fall, but we don't get into that dry air mass just yet. Humidity here you can see in green. This is not rain, but this is just a very sticky, oppressive feeling air mass. Our cold front rolls in on Thursday. It's going to bring us a chance of a few isolated thunderstorms, and we'll continue with that chance of late day storms all the way through the weekend. That front stalls. You can see it become a stationary front here. You can see we still have a southerly flow with that moisture, that humidity hanging around. So we don't get a break from that anytime soon. But it could feel like 104 this afternoon, 102 tomorrow, and 97 Friday. At least it may feel more like low 90s over the weekend. Hopscotch Music Festival is this weekend. It's a big festival for downtown Raleigh. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 9 o'clock. It'll still be 83 on Thursday, but 77 Friday and 74 on Saturday. We do have a chance of some isolated thunderstorms, so take along your WRAL app and follow along on the radar. It doesn't look like it's going to be a washout, but we just get back into that chance of some scattered storms. By Tuesday, we're back up to 91.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Today, the DOT will reopen Hillsborough Street in Raleigh to both east and west traffic. WRAL's Brett Neese joins us with a look at the changes and what's left of the project.
It's a big day for anybody who lives or drives in this section of Raleigh because this new bridge will open along with the intersection of Blue Ridge Road at Hillsborough Street. This new traffic pattern comes just in time for a lot of events that are happening over the course of the next few weeks or so. Of course, the State Fair is right around the corner. Canes hockey is also about to return. And then this weekend, it's the big one. NC State football has its home opener against Notre Dame. So there's going to be a lot of traffic in this area, and this new pattern will hopefully alleviate some of the congestion that naturally comes along with so many people being in one area. This part of the project has been 6 months in the making. That's how long drivers have had to use a different route if they're used to using this intersection. It all changes today, but it's also part of a much larger project in this area for NCDOT. They are completely overhauling this intersection. Workers will be out here for the next year or so as they continue work on this project. Of course, we're going to continue to follow along with it and keep you updated. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
New efforts have been announced to improve the Nash County Department of Social Services. The agency is now getting outside help to address several violations found in a state investigation, including poor supervision and follow-up during child welfare investigations. This all comes after a WRAL investigation into the deaths of two children in its care, Crystal Lane and Chase Hilliard. Yesterday, Nash DSS said it hired two consulting firms that will help the department with its corrective action plan.
A woman is dead after two people were stabbed at a home in Wake Forest. Wake County deputies responded to the home on Ligon Mill Road around 11:30 yesterday morning. They found a man and a woman with stab wounds in what was described as a domestic incident. Both were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The woman later died. Police are still investigating.
Lori Vallow Daybell is the woman convicted of murdering her two children, and now she is fighting for her life sentence. Fighting against it, that is. She filed a motion last week to appeal the conviction. Her lawyer says they plan on questioning if she was mentally fit to stand trial in the first place. In addition to being convicted of killing her daughter and her son, she was also convicted of conspiring to kill her husband's ex-wife. Vallow Daybell was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole.
Gun violence prevention will be the topic of a town hall meeting tonight in Apex. Congressman Wiley Nickel and Wake County Commissioner Matt Calabria will be joined by community leaders and student activists for the event. Nickel is part of the House's Gun Violence Prevention Task Force. The town hall is happening at 6 tonight at the Apex Senior Center.
Gun safety can be a tough topic to bring up before your child heads to a friend's house for a play date. WRL.com's family section has a list of tips to help start that conversation. These tips come from NC Safe, a statewide initiative to raise awareness about safe firearm storage. Start by asking parents about other points of safety, like if they have pets, a fence around the pool, or even parental controls on their child's devices. If you are not a gun owner, let the parent know that your child has no experience with guns and ask if there are any unlocked guns in their home. If you are a gun owner, talk about how you store your firearms and ask them how they store theirs. Educate your child about guns and be sure your child knows what to do if they find a gun. They should never touch it. They should leave the room and alert an adult immediately. Red flags to look out for include parents who say that their guns are hidden or out of reach. Kids can find anything adults try to hide. We know that. For more tips, just go to WRL.com and search the keyword family. North Carolina is another step closer to Sunday liquor sales, happy hours, even space whiskey. A bill to overhaul the state's alcohol beverage laws passed the House committee yesterday, allowing for all the things I just described there, buying liquor on Sunday, drink discounts in the afternoon, and tax breaks for a Durham company that wants to age whiskey in space. The House Alcoholic Beverage Control Committee added something new as well, legalizing alcohol sales at community college sporting events. The bill has to clear two more committees before it receives full House vote.
Three men were rescued off the coast of Australia after their inflatable catamaran was attacked by sharks and started to sink. Video from the Australian Safety Authority shows the catamaran taking on water as the men were airlifted from the sea. The men say they were sailing toward Cairns when their ship was attacked several times by sharks. Thankfully, all the men are okay. They'll arrive in Brisbane tomorrow morning.
Wow, I think they're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, I think so.
If you have a hard time adjusting to different time zones when traveling, a new study says a good breakfast might help. Scientists created a model to examine how our internal clocks react to jet lag. The study found meal times can help with resetting the circadian rhythm. Circadian clocks naturally regulate the body's sleep cycle and hormonal activity. The study found eating a big breakfast in the morning hours of a new time zone can help fend off jet lag.
A group of scientists used a Pink Floyd song in an experiment to try and understand brain function. The researchers played Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall, for the epilepsy patients, and it had all different components, lyrics, melodies, instruments, and all the patients and families liked the song. The team was able to use the patient's brain signals to recreate the song. The findings will help doctors understand how patients with neurological disorders and diseases and people who have traumatic brain injuries perceive the world.
It's allowed us to make significant progress, not just in understanding, but also in the translation of these understandings into therapies, into better diagnostic options.
And he says the findings will also help with additional research down the road. He says he's glad Pink Floyd's music can be enjoyed by many for more than just the way it sounds.
Big announcement from the Rolling Stones is coming in just a few hours. Mick Jagger and Jimmy Fallon shared this picture on Instagram together in Hackney, London. And coming up in, 45 minutes, 9:30 this morning, Jagger and the other Stones will live stream an interview with Fallon. It's expected they will reveal their new album that's called Hackney Diamonds. It's been two decades, 20 years since the Stones have released a new album. So pretty cool.
Jimmy Fallon always gets the coolest gigs. He's got his hands in everything.
Yeah. Well, with the writer's strike, they can't do any new shows, so he's got a little time on his hands.
Yeah, there you go. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.